activities in association with his different energies should be described, appreciated, and heard in accordance with the teachings of the Supreme Lord. If this is done regularly with devotion and respect, one is sure to get out of the illusory energy of the Lord. Purport. The science of learning a subject matter seriously is different from the sentiments of fanatics. Fanatics, or fools, may consider the Lord's activities in relation with the external energy to be useless for them, and they may falsely claim to be higher participants in the internal energy of the Lord. But factually, the Lord's activities in relation with the external energy and the internal energy are equally good. On the other hand, those who are not completely free from the clutches of the Lord's external energy should devoutly hear regularly about the activities of the Lord in relation with the external energy. They should not foolishly jump up to the activities of the internal energy, falsely attracted by the Lord's internal potential activities, like his Rasa-lila. The chief reciters of the Bhagavatam are very much enthusiastic about the Lord's internal potential activities, and the pseudo-devotees, absorbed in material sense enjoyment, falsely jump to the stage of liberated souls and thus fall down deeply into the clutches of the external energy. Some of them think that to hear about the pastimes of the Lord means to hear about his activities with the gopis, or about his pastimes like lifting the Govardhan hill, and they have nothing to do with the Lord's plenary expansions as the Purusha avatars and their pastimes of creation, maintenance, or annihilation of the material worlds. But a pure devotee knows that there is no difference between the pastimes of the Lord, either in Rasa-lila or in creation, maintenance, or destruction of the material world. Rather, the description of such activities of the Lord as the Purusha avatars are specifically meant for persons who are in the clutches of the external energy. Topics like the Rasa-lila are meant for liberated souls and not for the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls, therefore, must hear with appreciation and devotion the Lord's pastimes in relationship with the external energy. And such acts are as good as the hearing of Rasa-lila in the liberated stage. A conditioned soul should not imitate the activities of liberated souls. Lord Sri Chaitanya never indulged in hearing the Rasa-lila with ordinary men. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the science of God, the first 9 cantos prepare the ground for hearing the 10th canto. This will be further explained in the last chapter of this canto. In the 3rd canto, it will be more explicit. A pure devotee of the Lord, therefore, must begin reading or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning, and not from the 10th canto. We have several times been requested by some so-called devotees to take up the 10th canto immediately, but we have refrained from such an action because we wish to present the Srimad Bhagavatam as the science of Godhead and not as a sensuous understanding for conditioned souls. This is forbidden by such authorities as Sri Brahmaji. By reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as a scientific presentation, the conditioned souls will gradually be promoted to the higher status of transcendental knowledge after being freed from the illusory energy based on sense enjoyment. Om Anjanat Varandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Nutem Yena Tasmai Shri Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasri Gaurava Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Concluding this chapter about the scheduled incarnations, wherein Lord Brahma describes the 6 different categories of avatars of the Lord, Purusha avatars, Lila avatars, Guna avatars, Shaktivesha avatar, he describes these 6 categories, and he mentions particular individuals that exemplify those types of avatars. and those same individuals will be further described in later cantos. So after describing all of this, then he ends the chapter with what is called a Shruti Phal. This is the shloka of benediction. Anyone who reads this Bhagavatam will receive some blessing, some boon, some benediction. So he explains, he summarizes. So the Lord's activities in association with his different energies should be described, appreciated, heard, in accordance with the teachings of the Supreme Lord. Now this is the benediction, the boon, the blessing. If this is done regularly with devotion and respect, one is sure to get out of the illusory energy of the Lord. So this is the blessing. Hear the Bhagavatam, Nityam, Bhagavata Sevya, Bhagavad Gita Manshloke. You hear Bhagavatam every day, then Abhadrani, all Abhadrani, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, all material contamination is eliminated. Srimatam Swagata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana. Some of the same words are here. Srinvata Shradya Nityam Muyati. One becomes free from the illusion by hearing any part of the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he decides to use this verse as a springboard to attack the pseudo devotees or the cheap devotees, those devotees who take the practice of Krishna consciousness in a cheap way. Sahaja. Sahaja means cheaply. Sahajiyas. Those who simply want to read the 10th canto. They want to hear the pastimes of Krishna and the rasa dance. They don't want to hear the creation. They want to hear how Krishna is embracing the gopis and lovingly exchanging with the gopis. But they don't want to hear how Krishna is embracing the jivas and lovingly exchanging with the jivas. That is also a ras. There's also a ras. The whole purpose of material creation is to engage in ras with the conditioned souls. The mukti ras. To liberate the conditioned souls. Krishna lovingly embraces the conditioned souls also. And he dances with them in a divine dance of sadhana. When one surrenders to the Lord, he receives the Lord's embrace. The gopis also received the Lord's embrace. And they were thrilled from head to toe by the contact with the transcendental heart of the Lord. Full of unlimited bhavas and expressions of feelings and appreciation and a mood of seva. Krishna exists for the pleasure of his devotees, and the devotees exist for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna exists to serve his devotees, and the devotees exist to serve Krishna. And that fullest expression of seva is revealed or seen in the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis in Vrindavan. So the gopis feel that thrill, so do the conditioned souls in the material world when they embrace the lotus feet of Krishna and they dance with Krishna. Prabhupada would say, when we chant Shuddha Nam, then Krishna dances with you. Krishna is dancing with the gopis in Braja Gokul. But if one chants pure name, Krishna is also dancing with you. He's dancing on the Ras Mandal of your jiva, the Ras Mandal of your tongue. This is the Rasasthali, your jibya, your tongue. Krishna is dancing there very nicely. Vrindavan Natabara, Vrindavan Nataraj. And then every devotee can have the experience of Krishna's embrace by surrender. The gopis experience Krishna's embrace because they surrendered absolutely and unequivocally and perfectly and totally. Sarvadharma Pritya Mamekam Charanam Braja. They could go to Braja. Braja means to move, to go. They could go to Krishna and receive his loving embrace and be lost in divine rapture, relishing and tasting his sweet bhavas and praying, because they were surrendered. Parityaja, totally surrendered. So if we want to experience the loving embrace of Krishna, then we must follow the example, become a gopi anugatya. Follow the example of the gopis to fully surrender. And so then we will feel the loving embrace of Krishna right here in this world. And we will dance. We will dance with Krishna in his divine dance of seva. And we will experience all the joy and happiness. Once one devotee, he wrote Prabhupada a letter and said, it appears that this Sankirtan performance is in the mood of the Rasalila. The performance of Sankirtan seems to have the same mood as the Rasalila, where Krishna is dancing in the Ras, he's dancing in the center of the circle with Radharani. And then he leaves one form his perfect absolute form with Radharani, then he expands as in a vilas, another expansion of himself. Then he goes to the outside of the circle and he starts grabbing different, catching different gopis. Come! Come, join the circle. Come, dance. Like you have, may have so many machines in an office, so many computers. So the manager of the office, when he goes in the morning, he goes, doot, 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 doot. He presses the button of each computer and each computer comes on and becomes activated in the service of the office. Or if he's the office worker, he goes in and turns on the fans. One fan, two fans, three fans. So all the gopis were waiting there. And then Krishna came and pushed the button. You dance, and you dance. And then they would become activated and dance for Krishna's pleasure. This is a rasa dance. So Krishna is expanding himself to dance with all those gopis. So the Sankirtan is in that same mood. All the conditioned souls are standing on the sidewalk, dormant, like statues, frozen in the mire of material energy. Their spiritual movement has been cut. They're not moving, they're not dancing to the tune of that sweet flute player. They are frozen in the modes of nature. There's no forward progress, there's no movement. They're not moving. They appear to be moving. Napashiti, napashiti. They're seeing, but they're not seeing. They're moving, but they're not moving. So then the devotees in Sankirtan, they're chanting Hare Krishna. I said, come on, take a book. Welcome, sir. Welcome to San Francisco. Take my hand and I'll take you to the Ras Lila. Shake my hand. Hey, Gopi, hey, Sakhi. Hey, Bhattajiva. Hey, Bhattajiva. Shake hands. Welcome to San Francisco. Here. Here's your ticket. Here's the Bhagavatam. This is your ticket. The Rasa dance is that way. Chant Hare Krishna and you'll make it. Chant Hare Krishna and you'll enter that Rasa dance and you'll receive the embrace of Krishna. So the Sankirtan movement is simply an extension of the Rasa circle. The circle in Vrindavan, the circle on the banks of the Yamuna and Yamuna Pulin was only 16,108 gopis, except for Sharad Purnima when millions attended. That's called Maharas. But the daily Rasa is a very confidential, tight circle. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to spread that Rasa circle around the entire world. It's told in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya came to garland. He came to garland, put a mala, praying mala around the entire world. He wants to encircle the entire world and put everybody in the center of that Rasa circle. And raise your hands up. Harivo! Harivo! And dance in the circle of Ras. And taste the flavor. Taste the flavor of surrender. Taste the ecstasy of service, pure service, and selfless mood. So Lord Chaitanya, through the Sankirtan movement, which he initiated and which has spread through his disciplic succession, Gaudiya Vaishnava, Parampara, all over the world, he's inviting everyone, please come to the Rasa dance, receive the embrace of Krishna. So such a wonderful Rasa dance is going on right here in this Srishti. And we can appreciate the Sankirtan movement and the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya as being the accessible Rasa Leela, which we are all participating in. And Prabhupada is saying, people want to jump up there, they don't see any value to the Srishti Leela, but they can't make the connection. Because they're sahajya, they're cheap. Their brain is cheap, their hearts are cheap. They're not udara, they're not broad, their hearts are closed. The hearts of a sahajya is closed by selfishness. It's closed by selfishness and a desire to enjoy. This is the opposite of braja. Braja, the hearts of the gopis are expanded in unlimited dimension and unlimited selflessness. Acharyas explained that the gopis are so selfless and so much dedicated to the center and so much surrendered to the will and desire and happiness of Krishna that they become self-forgetful. They don't even know they exist. They forget themselves. It's one thing to be selfish. It's another thing to be selfless. Selfish means I'm everything for me. That's selfish. And selfless means, well, I will give so many things I have, I will give. I will maintain myself, but I will give my money, I will give my wealth, I will give my time, but I will still maintain awareness and cognizance and attachment to myself. But the gopis, they gave everything, even their selves. And they became self-forgetful. There was nothing left. Their name, their fame, their shame, their position, their money, their bodies, their minds, their hearts, their prana, their very life breath was given to Krishna. Take it. So Prabhupada warning us, not so much warning us, because he gave us the Krishna book. One time the devotees were distributing a Krishna book. They were saying, Prabhupada, these books are so nice. We're distributing thousands of these books and the conditioned souls are appreciating. And then Prabhupada said, yes. Let me ask you, are you reading these books? Yeah, Prabhupada asked the devotee, the disciple, are you reading Krishna book? Oh, Prabhupada, we don't have much time. We're very busy. We don't have much time. And Prabhupada replied, but I'm writing these books for you, for my children, for my disciples. You are the first ones that should read these books. So Prabhupada gave us this Krishna book, and he gave us a format by which we could appreciate the Krishna book and enter into the Krishna book, the loving pastimes of Krishna, Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. And that entrance fee is surrender to Guru. Pranipatena, surrender to Guru. And then we can actually read the Krishna book, because we have a background, we have a foundation of surrender and seva, and the mercy of Guru. That is the adhikar, that is the eligibility which enables us to read the Krishna book. The support and strength from Guru Kripa, and the support and strength from our sincere surrender and desire to love Krishna and serve Krishna, not to enjoy Krishna. Oh yes, I'm Krishna. This Krishna is very nice. He has long hair, so I must grow my hair long. And his hair is black, but my hair is blonde. I know one Guru Bhai, he has blonde hair, but he's a Sahajya, so then he dyed his hair black. Because Krishna, if you want to be Krishna, you can't be Krishna with blonde hair. We never hear about Krishna with blonde hair. I mean, it's white or yellow hair. It's very black hair. It has a bluish, has a slightly reddish tint. A reddish tint to his black hair. And that reddish tint is his anurag. The anurag, the intense attachment that Krishna's swirling in Krishna's heart for Radharani comes up and comes out in his hair and gives it a slightly red tinge. It's black with a slight red tinge. That's explained in Satyavrata Muni's prayer to Damodar. Then, if you see Radharani, the description of Radharani's hair, Radharani's hair is also jet black. But Radharani's hair has a slightly sham rang, slightly bluish tinge. It's bluish black. And it's obvious why that is. Because she is always thinking of the service. She's always thinking of the service of Sham. So those thoughts, they come out with a certain aura, a Sham aura. And that aura gives her black hair a bluish tint. These are some small drops from this Ras ocean. So Prabhupada, he's telling, you can't read, but you can. The devotees, because you surrendered. We love Krishna as Varaha. We love Krishna as Varaha. It's so beautiful. We love Krishna as Nisringa. We love him as Matsya. We love these creation leelas. For example, these same personalities, these Sahajiyas, they want to present these esoteric and intimate confidential topics of the Lord. Prabhupada is mentioning 10th canto, and specifically Rasa Panchadaya, the five chapters of the Rasa dance. But there are other subsequent and supplementary literatures which amplify and more deeply describe the pastimes of the 10th canto. One famous book is called Gita Govinda. Gita Govinda was written by Jayadeva Goswami. So this Sahajiya class, the chief followers of the Lord, the imitationists, those who want to imitate, they want to imitate Krishna, look like Krishna, feel like Krishna, and embrace all the pretty girls like Krishna. I am Krishna and you are my gopi. Hey Sakhi. Hey Sakhiyon. One gopi, two gopi. Sakhi is one, Sakhiyon is many. See my curly hair? I just took it out of curlers this morning. I curled it last night with little plastic curls, so it has a wavy effect. And I dyed it 2 days ago, so it's really shining black. And see my bracelets, and see my yellow Pitambara dhoti. And listen to me sing. And they sing. And then the gopis say, oh, Manohar. Oh. Oh, gopi, you want to dance with me? Oh, yes, Prabhu. Oh. Sahaja, cheap. This is going on. So this same imitationist class, they want to present this book, Gita Govinda, because it's very, very intimate. And it's a nice manual, it's a nice handbook for them to learn more deeper pastimes with their gopis, with their sakis. Where the Bhagavatam leaves off, the Gita Govinda carries on. More intimate, more confidential, more pleasure, more cheating for the imitationists. But when they decide to present the book in English, they do a little surgery on the book. Because when Jayadeva Goswami wrote the book, he started off the book by describing the Lord's wonderful and sweet forms in relationship to this creation. Pralaya payodi jitavan nasivena. Right? The Das Avatar Stotram. What is the Das Avatar Stotram? It is the prayers to the 10 avatars. Who wrote it? Jayadeva Goswami. Where did he write it? And what book did he put it in? It is the Mangalacharna for Gita Govinda. So before he wants to tell you all the intimate kunjalilas of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, and the separation, and the milan, the sambo, the meeting and separation, and the man of Radharani, and the mood of Krishna, and the mood of Radha, so many intimate exchanges. He wants to glorify Krishna in Srishti Leela. Oh, he's Matsya, oh, he's Kurma, and he's Varaha, and Vaman, and the Shringa, and Ram, Buddha. Wonderful. But I am a Sahajiya. I'm an imitationist. And I want to print this book. I want to share it with my followers. So what do I have to do? I have to cut out the Mangalacharna. So I present Gita Govinda by Jayadeva Goswami minus, without the Mangalacharna. Because we only want the brats. Such cheaters, such offenders. They don't understand anything. They say, yes, Jayadeva Goswami, we want you very much. I like you very much. But please, I want to cut your head off first. I'll cut your head off and throw it away. I only want the bottom part of your body. So they cut off the head of his book. The head of the book is the Mangalacharna. So it's a Sahajiya class, they cut off the Mangalacharna and they publish and print the Gita Govinda without the Das Avatar Stotra. So Prabhupada, he's talking about these kind of pseudo-devotees, kind of cheaters. At any rate, today is a very auspicious day. It is the disappearance day of Jayadeva Goswami, whom we mentioned. So it's an appropriate lead-in. And it's a disappearance day of Ramchandra Kaviraj. And it's a holy Avirbhava appearance day of Gopalbhatta Goswami. Jayadeva Goswami appeared 900 years ago, about 500 years before Lord Chaitanya in Orissa, I believe. Kenda Bilba. Is it right? Is that Orissa? Thank you. Yeah, with an affirmative. Our Aryan Vaishnava has confirmed. We have, in our Gaudiya Sangha, we have Aryan Vaishnavas, we have Navadvip Vasis, we have Bridge Vasis, and we have Videshi Vaishnavas. They've been separated from their land of love and for the cause of service. So they're Videshi, they're without their Desh. The Desh, the soil of the Gaudiya Vaishnava, there's three soils, there's three earths, there's three stalis. Every Vaishnava has three soils, three types of earth in his body. One type of earth is known as Braja Raj. Another type of earth is called Mayapur Raj. Another type of earth is called Arisa Raj or Puri Raj, Purushottam Kshetra. So that's in everyone's heart. But sometimes for service, they are separated from their Desh. They become Videsh without their Raj. Because they have to go to Germany and America and England and France and New York to serve. So they become Videshi. But it doesn't mean they're without the mercy. They're missing their soil, but they're carrying that soil in their heart and distributing it to others. So he was born there, Brahmin from birth, Jayadeva Goswami. Then he grew up and he married Padmavati, his beloved wife, and he was writing so many wonderful books. He was traveling sometimes in Orissa, sometimes in Navadvip. In fact, when he was writing, he wrote this Gita Govinda. And he was describing the beauty of Vrindavan, the Das Avatars. He began with the Das Avatars. Then he's describing the relationship, the loving relationship between Radha and Govinda, Radha Madhav. And then a thought came in his mind, because Radharani was displaying a mood of man, Man is a type of prem and separation. Viraha prem, man. Man prem. She was showing a pouting mood. So, as our Guru Bhai, Guru Govinda Maharaj used to say, a sulking. It's a very nice word, sulking. She was sulking, a love sulk. She didn't want to be with Krishna for various reasons, some causal reasons and some causeless reasons, different types of man. So Krishna, in this drama that was being written, this Sanskrit drama, Gita Govinda, being written by Jayadeva, the thought came to him that in order for Krishna to break Radharani's man, he has to become a beggar. He must become a bhikari. But how can I say this? Because throughout creation, all the Shruti, Smritis, Puranas, they always describe Bhagavan as the supreme. And all the bhaktas are subordinate to Bhagavan. They're under him, they're dependent on him, they're surrendered to him, and they serve him with utmost humility and submission. They're all under his feet. Their feet, we want the feet of the Lord on our heads. Every bhakta will say that, every rishi, sage. But the thought came in Jayadeva Goswami's mind. My mind is telling my hand. My mind is telling my hand to write something. My mind is telling my hand to write that God, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, becomes a beggar before his devotee.
Oh.
I can't write this. How can I say that the Supreme becomes dependent on his devotee? That he has to surrender to his devotee? This has never been said. That the Lord becomes subordinate and that he becomes a beggar. So then he thought of that shloka. And then he said, I better take five. It's time to take a break. This is getting too intense. This is too overwhelming. So he told his wife, Padmavati, prepare the bhog for Thakurji. I'm taking bath in Ganga. I think it was Ganga. So he went to take bath in Ganga. So while he was taking bath, Jayadeva was taking bath in Ganga, Sri Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, disguised himself as Jayadeva, Brahman. And he entered the house. And he went and he sat down and he said, Devi, prasad is ready. Oh, yes, Prabhu. Thakurji has honored his prasad happily and with great satisfaction. Here's Thakurji's prasad, Thakurji's bowl. Acha. So Sri Krishna, disguised as Jayadeva, relishes that prasadam, Bhagavan prasad. And then he goes and Padmavati serves him very nicely and humbly and efficiently and lovingly and fully. More, Prabhu, take more. And Krishna's going like this. No, please, no. Right, like they do in India. So then Krishna, or disguised as Jayadeva, he goes into Jayadeva's writing room and he sits at his desk and he looks and he says, oh, I know my Jayadeva wanted to write this phrase, this shloka. And he's thinking about it, but he's afraid. He's shaking and trembling in fear to write such a thing about me. Therefore, I will personally write it. Dehi parapalavam mudaram. Dehi parapalavam mudaram. Mudaram. Krishna wrote it. Then he left. Then Jayadeva came back. And he said, Devi, prasad ready. He said, Prabhu, you came half hour ago, you took prasad, you went in your room, you wrote something in your book. Now, why are you asking? You're hungry, more hungry? What? He said, no, what are you talking about? I'm still wet. My gums is wet. I just came from the Ganga. Can't you see? Oh, Are Baba, yeah, I see, you're wet. So then Jayadeva goes in the room and he looks at his manuscript, at his palm leaves. And there, etched in beautiful, beautiful writing in Devanagari, he sees some writing. And the writing is effulgent. It's shining. It's effulgent and beautifully, like a string of pearls looking very attractively. Dehi parapalavam mudaram. And he closed his eyes and was thinking, who has done this? He inquired from his wife. No one came there except someone that looked like him. Perfectly disguised as him, and then he could understand by his inner vision, Atmadristi, seeing within, Antardristi, this is my Lord. Bhagavan came. He has come. And he has personally written this shloka. So that he's confirming my realization, he's confirming my intimation. to write this, Dehi Palapalava Mudara, which means Dehi, that Krishna became a beggar. Oh Radharani, Dehi Pada, please, you're in Man. You don't want to speak with me. You don't want to be with me. You're showing an unfavorable attitude. You're showing opposition for your own good reasons. But I'm kneeling at your feet. Can't you see my eyes are welling with tears? My kajal is washing down my face. You see? You look at me. I'm at your feet. And please glance at me. I'm looking at you. And I'm with folded hands with Anjali, Prem Anjali. Folded hands, I'm begging you. Shrimati Radhika. Please, Dehi Pada Palavam. Your Pada, please give me your feet. They're not ordinary feet. They're like the bud, a Palava. Like the bud of a... like they're so beautiful, like tender leaf buds, a Palava. They're so dainty and so sweet and so nicely shaped and formed and beautifully colored on the bottom with this red lac and a shining golden surface which is emanating a wonderful sparkling effulgence in thousands of directions. And your toenails are like a string of rubies to illuminate the whole universe and to illuminate the dark core of my heart which is burning in separation from you. Dehi Padapalavam Mudaram, please let me, I'm begging you, please give me those bud-like feet and let me place them on my forehead. Mudaram, on the top of my forehead, please show me that mercy. So Krishna himself wrote this in Gita Govinda. Yes, Krishna becomes a beggar, begging for Radharani's feet placed on his head. So the acharyas explain that Jayadeva Goswami, even 500 years ago, and other great acharyas like Chandidas and Vidyapati, they realized the mood of Lord Chaitanya, this mood of Radhadasyam, or the service of Radharani, or the exalted position of Radharani and her prema, her mahabhav, was revealed 500 years before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. It was revealed in the heart of Jayadeva. And he was the first one. He was the first one to express the supreme position of the pure devotee of Krishna. How Krishna becomes a beggar at the feet of his pure devotee, begging for their love. So Jayadeva, he brought this into the world. But around the same time in Puri, the king of Puri also, he saw that Jayadeva was becoming very popular by this Gita Govinda. Everyone was singing it, everyone was reading it, because it's so sweet. There's so many times Prabhupada would sing the Das Avatar Stotra. Pralaya payodi jitavana sivedan. Or we sing Tavakara kamalavare nakam madhuta sringam. Dalita hiranyakashipu tanubringam. Keshavadrita narahari rupa. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Very beautiful. This is Jayadeva Goswami. We sing Jayadeva. Every devotee in this room is absorbed in the Gita Govinda. Every morning we sing the Gita Govinda. One shloka from the Mangala Charana, glorifying the fourth avatar of the Lord, known as Nrisimha Bhagavan. So this king in Puri, he became a little bit disturbed. His Gita Govinda is becoming so popular. Listen, I'm also a poet. I also know writing. I will write my own Gita Govinda. So the king wrote a Gita Govinda called Abhinav. Abhinav Gita Govinda. Then he ordered his servants and secretaries, please, you print many copies of this and circulate it widely. And so my Gita Govinda becomes the most popular and famous in all of Orissa. So then his brahminical ministers, they cautioned him. They said, listen, Maharaj, this Jayadeva Goswami's book is impeccable. It is peerless and perfect and pure and absolutely matchless. No offense, but your Abhinav Gita Govinda is not so paka.
What? You're saying my Abhinav Gita Govinda is not paka?
Oh, Maharaj, no, nothing personal. And then but Brahmins are very clever because they have Bhag City. Saraswati's on their tongue. So then immediately they came up with something. Now wait, now relax, Maharaj. Listen, let Lord Jagannath decide. Because even the king is underneath Lord Jagannath. He's Patita Pavan. He's the king, but then the big king is the Jagannath, is the Lord, Purushottam. So everyone's under him. Everyone submits. So then the Brahmin very quickly and wisely suggested, we'll take your Abhinav Gita Govinda, and we'll take Jayadeva's Gita Govinda, and we'll offer them to Lord Jagannath. Let Lord Jagannath decide which one is the best. So then the king said, that's reasonable. Let my work be judged by God. Let him be the judge. And the king was very confident. I'm the king of Puri. I'm very close with Jagannath. Surely he'll pass a favorable judgment. So that night, when they put Jagannath Ji to sleep, they left the Abhinav Gita Govinda and the Asli Gita Govinda, the original by Jayadev. Then that night, Lord Jagannath, he didn't sleep, because he had to read these two books. Took some time. So he read one book, and he said, "What? What is this?" He just threw it, and it scattered all over the deity room, all the pages. And he read the other book. He said, so sweet, so clear. This is so dear and near to my heart. I feel by reading this book that I'm seeing my beautiful face of Radhika and all my sakis and my Braj, everything. And then he fell asleep. Just like devotees, sometimes they lie on the floor and they're reading a book and they fall asleep with a Bhagavatam on their nose. And they wake up. That happens sometimes. And if it's in one of these big, heavy, fat volumes, it's dangerous to break your nose. So then the next morning, the Jaris, they went in to wake the Lord Purushottam, offer his Mangal Bhog, his Balya Bhog, kheer and rescue, sweet rice, everything. Then they saw these papers, these palm leaves were scattered all over the place. And they saw Jagannath was holding one book, he was clutching and caressing one book to his chest. And the Pujaris were not so concerned with the book, the pages on the floor. So they went to Lord Jagannath and they carefully and lovingly took that book from Lord Jagannath's chest. And then they went out to the king and they said, "King, Lord Jagannath has decided that Jayadev's Gita Govinda is near and dear to his heart. Gita Govinda by Jayadev Goswami Ki." And from that time on, the Gita Govinda was ordered to be sung every night to Lord Jagannath in the temple of Jagannath. And he also wears it. It's written on cloth or something. The shlokas of the Gita Govinda are written on some silk cloth as a chadar. Like we have a Harinam chadar, and that's good enough for us. But while Krishna's going to have a chadar, he needs a little something more than Harinam. So Krishna's chadar, he has a Gita Govinda chadar, which is it's quite confidential. Of course, if you chant the Harinam purely, your Harinam chadar will turn into a Gita Govinda chadar. So Jagannath is wrapped with the Gita Govinda, and he takes rest. Gita Govinda. Because Nam Rup Gun Lila, there's no difference between the name of Krishna and the descriptions of Krishna. That's what Prabhupada, the verse is telling. So this is Jayadev Goswami. And after some time he moved to West Bengal, to Bengal, and he became the court pundit under the reign of Lakshman Sen. And he was being maintained there as a Brahmin, and doing his writing and puja, bathing in Ganga every day, living very simply and humbly. And then the king, Lakshman Sen, he came to Jayadev and he said, "Listen, I want to meet you and come to see you." And Jayadev said, "No, I'll see you. I'll come to your place. I'll see you in the palace at the appropriate time. But don't come to my place. I have a humble place. This is a place of my bhajan. This is a place of my thakur. This is a place of my meditation. Kings are not allowed here. Because kings represent Rajagun. And sometimes a touch of Tamagun also comes there. And some contamination in their activities. So I don't want you to come." So the king was a little bit upset. He said, "No, I must come and visit you." And then Jayadev warned him. He said, "Listen, I'm leaving your kingdom. Leave me, let me be peacefully do my bhajan. I'll meet you when I meet you in a public assembly. But don't come, don't disturb my kuti." And then the king, "I'm leaving." Then the king begged him, "Oh, please, please, stay in my kingdom. Don't Don't leave, because if your feet are walking in my kingdom, everything will become auspicious and fortunate for me and all my citizens, because you're such a great Mahatma and pure devotee of the Lord. But listen, just to keep your peace, I'll move you. He set up a nice place for Jayadeva across the Ganga. Because Jayadeva, originally he was living near the Mayapur temple in Antardweep or Rudradweep. He was living near the yoga pit, and then he moved across the river. So when he was, and then one time Jayadeva was moving around Navadweep, he stayed in Champahati. Champahati is in, I think it's Modadrum. I can't remember. It's in the forest of Modadrum in Champahati. Many champa trees there. So he was doing his bhajan there and worshipping his Krishna, his Govinda. And then, to show mercy to him, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Govinda revealed himself as Gauranga. This is 400 years before the advent of Lord Chaitanya, because it's 900 years ago. So in Champahati, in Navadvip, Mandal, Lord Krishna revealed himself and gave darshan to Jayadeva Goswami as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, because he was very pleased with him, that he wrote, that he was the first one to write about this, the inner heart of Lord Krishna, which Lord Chaitanya came to display to the world. So he gave a special mercy and displayed his darshan. He gave Gauranga darshan to Jayadeva. So today is also the disappearance day of Ramchandra Kaviraj. Ramchandra Kaviraj, he is an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya in Nitya Navadvip. He is one of the Ashta Kavirajas. He appeared about 500 years ago as the son of Chiranjeeva Sen. And there's different stories that are told. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he describes a biography, he says that although Ramachandra Kaviraj was extremely beautiful features and very handsome young boy or young man, his father and mother wanted to marry him, but he declined. He remained a brahmachari his whole life. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that. He deferred. He did not enter into Grihastha Ashram. And then he came, I just kind of quickly summarize it. He was very, it's described, he was an internal associate of Narottam Das Thakur. And he was very close companion of him. They would practice bhajan together and study shastras together. They were very close. He took initiation, Ramchandra Kaviraj took initiation from Srinivasacharya. So Srinivasacharya, he wrote the Sad Goswami Ashtakam, describing all the qualities of the six Goswamis and also a person like Ramchandra Kaviraj. So once, Ramchandra was in Keturi. Keturi, I believe, is in East Bengal. Keturi, East Bengal. Is it right? I think so. Keturi Mahotsav. And he was Narottam, although he was considered to be from a lower class or lower caste. I don't know exactly the caste, but sometimes it's described that Narottam was a Shudra. I don't think he was really a Shudra, but he wasn't a Brahmin. But he was so effulgent, so illuminated with Tattva Gyan and pure bhavas, with Rasika bhavas and love for Radha Krishna. He was so illuminated that he received love directly from Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Prem, Narottam. Narottam! He's the topmost of all the human beings. Although he appeared externally, his caste, his varna was not Brahmin. But he attracted thousands of followers and many hundreds of Brahmins, high-class Brahmins, Bhattacharyas, Chaturvedis, etc., Upadhyayas. They would come to the lotus feet of Narottam and surrender and beg for initiation and diksha. And he was giving mantra diksha to so many Brahmins. So this incited the anger amongst the Svarta Brahmin community of Bengal. They said, this is ridiculous. Only the Brahmins have their, only the Janam Brahmins, the Jati Brahmins, Jati Gosai, those that are born as Brahmins, only they have the right to give diksha to Brahmins and to initiate. Why is he doing this? So they rallied together, all the Svarta Brahmins, and they went to the king. The king's name was Raj Nisringha. They went to Raj Nisringha and said, listen, Maharaj, you have to do something about this upstart. This Narottam is wantonly initiating all the Brahmins. He is bringing disgrace to the Brahmin community. He is disgracing the Brahmin, the exalted Varna, the caste of Brahmins are being disgraced by this low-class person, this Shudra. Narottam is initiating them. You have to put a stop to this. Otherwise, you will become disgraced. You will become disgraced, and you may also suffer some dire consequences, if you know what I mean. The Brahmins, they threaten Rajnasringa, to finish him off. They warned him, do your duty, otherwise you will no longer be the Raj. So then they made an alliance with the Rajnasringa and the Smarta Brahmins, and they wanted to challenge Narottama on the basis of Shastra and prove that he's not qualified to initiate. But they didn't have the power, the Shastric power, the Shastric Gyan, to do it themselves. So they called in a famous Digvijay Pandit. His name was Rup Narayan. Pandit, Digvijay Pandit Rup Narayan. So together, all the Smarta Brahmins and the Rajnasringa and Rup Narayan, they made a journey, a big group, made a journey to Keturi, to meet with and confront and challenge Narottam Das Thakur. So now, somehow or other, by some messengers, or some spies, or some friends, Ramchandra Kaviraj, their guru, to defame their guru and friend, Narottam Das. So in the true spirit of devotion, they wanted to defend their guru, and defend the Lord. This is the proper use of anger. When there are some offenders to the Lord, or the devotee, then we must rise up like a tiger to defend the Lord and his devotees. So they made a plan to intercept this party in one village before Keturi. It's called Kandaragram, something like that, Kandaragram. So Ramchandra Kaviraj, whose disappearance day is today, and we're discussing some of his glory, Ramchandra Kaviraj, he went to this village along with Ganganarayan Chakravarti, and they set up two shots by the river. The Ramchandra Kaviraj, he set up a pot shop, he became a mitiwala, a clay pot shop. He was selling clay coolers, clay cups and donuts and katoris and bowls, everything. And Ganga Narayan, he set up a betel nut shop. He became a pan seller. He was selling pan. Because of course when the Brahmins eat nice Brahmin bhojan, after they eat their Brahmin bhojan, then they want some pan for digestion, to relax and digest. So, and they need the containers to serve out all the bhojan. So they need the clay cups and the clay bowls. So they set up shop there. Now that camp came there with the Digvijay Pandit and the king, Rajnasringa, and all the Smarta Brahmins and all their disciples and teachers. And they camped there, one village away from Keturi, where Narottam was residing. So then they sent their disciples. All right, okay, Brahmacharis, go. Collect some, get all the necessary preparation to make for having our prasad. So then all the students and the teachers, all the students of the Smarta teachers, the students, they went out to buy the clay cups and buy the pan and the vegetables, all these things to prepare the bhog offering. So then they met Ramchandra Kaviraj at his little shop. And he started discussing with them in Sanskrit. Now usually a mitiwala is not a Sanskrit pundit. They're considered shudras and low class and not so educated, certainly not in Sanskrit. So the Ramchandra was saying, so what about this tattvamasi? What is the meaning of tattvamasi or sarvakomandam brahma? And they started discussing Vedanta Sutra with the students of these great smarta pundits. And then Ramachandra, he was defeating them left, right, and center. He was defeating all their arguments, and they were dumbfounded. They were astonished, amazed. How is it that a clay potwala is so erudite and so learned in Sanskrit? And then, meanwhile, next door to him, the pan seller, Ganganarayan Chakravarti, the disciple of Narottam, he was blasting and bombing and destroying all the arguments of another group of students. So, of course, their egos were riled up. So they said, wait a minute, we're going to bring our Sanskrit teachers here. We'll show you guys. And we'll show you men. And they went to get their teachers. And then their teachers came there. Their Sanskrit, the pundits. And they started arguing with the potwala and the panwala, who happened to be Ramchandra and Ganganarayan. And then they were also defeated, utterly obliterated. And they said, okay, listen, we don't know who you are, but we'll bring the Digvijay pundit, and he'll finish you off. So they called for Rup Narayan Panditji. So Rup Narayan came there and said, what's the problem? What's the disturbance? Said, potwala? Panwala? What are you doing? You're bringing me here to talk to a panwala and a potwala? This is an affront. This is an insult. I can't entertain a conversation like this. So while he's speaking like that, then Ramchandra Kaviraj greeted him with Sanskrit. Namo Namaste, or whatever they say. He welcomed him with perfect Sanskrit. Swagatam, Swagatam Puru, Namo Namaste. And he went, huh? What did you say? Panwala? Patwala? And then he said, oh, so you know a little Sanskrit, huh? Okay. We'll see how much Sanskrit you know. What about this? What about that? And this and that, this and that, this and that. Do you know the meaning of this? And can you give me 27 different meanings of this? And then Ganganarayan and Ramchandra, perfectly, everything they answered. And then they started posing questions to the Digvijaya. Well, what about this? And what about that? Digvijaya said, oh, I think I have another engagement right now. I have to go back to the temple. I have to give the Bhagavad Gita class in the temple. So please excuse me. So meanwhile, Raj Nisringa, the king who accompanied the Smarta Brahmins on their way to meet Narottam, he said, he was observing all this. You know, the arguments going back and forth. You know, Ganganarayan and the Pandit is going back, and he's listening very attentively. And then he can understand. Wait a minute. Then he mentions something to the Digvijaya Pandit. He says, listen, you and all these Smarta Brahmins have... Oh, they inquired. First the king inquired. He said, who are you? Who are you? Who is it? Mr. Panwala, Mr. Patwala, who are you? So then the Panwala, Ganganarayan Chakravarti, said, he folded his hands and he bowed his head and he said, I have received the great fortune, the unestimable great fortune of receiving Mantra Diksha from Sri Srimad Narottam Das Thakur Mahashaya. And he kept his head bowed down, hands like this. I am his humble servant, trying somehow to render some menial service at the lotus feet of my guru. So the king is, his eyes are opening. And who are you, sir, Mr. Patwala? He said, I have the good fortune of having friendship and also receiving shiksha from Narottam Das Thakur. My name is Ramchandra Kaviraj. Yeah, it was just Ramchandra at that time. My name is Ramchandra Das. So then the king, he drew the conclusion, then he advised the Pandit, the Digvijaya Pandit, and all the Smartas. He said, listen, I'm not going there. What's the point of going to meet Narottam Das Thakur? We will never be able to defeat him. We will never be able to challenge even his toenails. Because look, these are two insignificant disciples of his, a Panwala and a Patwala. They've utterly and completely defeated the greatest Digvijaya Pandit of India. So what will happen when we meet the teacher of this student? Let us not be disgraced. Let us not be embarrassed. Let us pack our bags and leave immediately. And that's what they did. They packed their bags and they ran home. So the Smartas were defeated. Because it is a fact. Kiva Ripa Kiva Nasi Sudra Kena Nai. Yaya Krishna Tata Veda Say Guru Hai. Lord Chaitanya confirmed, it doesn't matter whether you're Sudra or Sannyasi or whatever you are. Kiva Ripa Kiva Nasi Sudra Kena Nai. Yaya Krishna Tata Veda Say Guru Hai. If you know Krishna Tattva, Prema Tattva, Shrisi Tattva, Leela Tattva, Nam Tattva. If you know the Tattvas, you're a Tattva Gyani. Tattva Gyaninas. Darshan. If you had Darshan, Tattva Darshan. You've seen the truth and realized the truth, and if you serve and surrender to the truth, you can become Guru. So Narottam was that personality. He was a Tattva Gyani. And he was not only a Tattva Gyani, but he had Prem. He was a Prema Dhani. A Prema Dhani and a Tattva Gyani. He had the wealth of Prem. Prema Dhani. And he was a Tattva Gyani. So with Prem and Gyan, one becomes qualified to be Guru. Whether you're Shudra, Sannyasi, Brahmachari, Grihastha, whatever. So this pastime illustrates that point. How Narottam, he was maybe low caste, but by his effulgence, by his purity, he established himself in the realm of transcendence and acted as a pure representative of divine knowledge and pure love. He represented perfectly Guru Tattva. Perfect representative, Balaram and Radharani. Samvit Shakti and Ladani Shakti. And it also illustrates the point how the disciples, they courageously defend their guru in very clever ways. Very clever and unique way. They disguise themselves to protect the dignity. One must protect the dignity and the honor of his spiritual master in all places and times and circumstances. So this shows that. Because the pride is not wanted. Pride is Asura Sampat is Dumba. Dumba is a treasure. It is a jewel in the treasury of a demon. That pride is a worthless treasure. The demons are very proud proud to have. It is false pride. But a devotee is proud of Guru. He's proud of Krishna and Guru. So he must defend. He must defend time to time. Sometimes you see on the internet, he must defend his guru on the internet because his guru is being blasphemed on the internet or being relegated or diminished. The glories and effulgence and eminence, preeminence of his guru is being diminished by attackers or other people. So this is also a lesson we learn. Of course, today is the appearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Of course, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, 5 minutes. He, Lord Chaitanya, knowing that his eternal associate, had appeared in Sri Rangam in South India, he journeyed there. And on the pretext of observing Chaturmasya, Lord Chaitanya stayed for 4 months in Sri Rangam at the house of Venkata Bhatta. Because Venkata Bhatta was the father of the eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya known as Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Today is the divine Avirbhav Tithi, or appearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami is Radharani's eternal mandri known as Guna Mandri. Sometimes it's mentioned that he's a Nanga Mandri. But generally, the majority of Gaudiyas regard him as in his mandri sarup in Vrindavan or Brajaloka. Gopal Bhatta is Guna Mandri, one of the Ashtamandris. So Lord Chaitanya came there, and when Gopal was only a small boy, he was only 5 or 6 years old, but when he saw Lord Chaitanya, he recognized him that this is my Lord. But he felt distressed. He was unhappy to see the Lord shorn of his beautiful locks and wearing the garb of a sannyasi. And he felt some distress in his heart. Oh, my Lord, you've taken sannyas. You've given up your beautiful hair to wander as a mendicant and not eating properly or drinking, and you're completely surrendered to this mood of traveling and preaching. He felt very much unhappiness. So understanding the distress of his heart, Lord Chaitanya revealed in a dream. One night Gopal took rest, and in a dream he saw Lord Chaitanya as Gauranga Mahaprabhu with all his splendor and all his beauty and his Navadvip Leela with his beautiful curly hair, the beautiful top knot surrounded by Gunjamala and pearls and looking so attractive and dancing in the Sankirtan and Srivasangam. And Gopal was able to witness in that dream all the wonderful Navadvip Leelas of Lord Gauranga, and then his heart filled with satisfaction, joy. And when he woke up, he was so appreciative that Lord Chaitanya had displayed the entirety of his Navadvip Leelas for the pleasure of his Nitya Parishad, Gopal Bhatta. Gopal Bhatta used to daily render the service of massaging Lord Chaitanya's feet as a young boy. Now, very interesting discussions in Madhya Leela summarize it, that the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and the father of Gopal, known as Venkata Bhatta. Because by the Prabhav, by the influence of Lord Chaitanya, the entire family of Venkata Bhatta became attracted to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Venkata Bhatta, his brother, Prabodhananda Saraswati, and his son, Gopal Bhatta, they were all Sri Vaishnavas. They were worshippers of Lakshmi Narayan. That was their family deity. But having Lord Chaitanya in their house, and serving him, and cooking for him, and feeding him, caring for him, and by his preaching, they became influenced, and their minds and hearts turned to Radha and Krishna.